We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m. And if you miss us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8 p.m. You can also check out the show's archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we are out here. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, House Party, YouTube, Twitch, Black Planet, MySpace, Tinder, and catch us ticking on the talk and Google Plus.
In this episode, we'll be putting you up on the real story behind the woman dubbed Portland's Naked Athena and an all-woman political firm launches in time for the 2020 election cycle.
A federal judge denied a restraining order against the federal officers, and ballots are arriving for the August 11th special runoff election.
But first, let's jump into Gresham City Council, letting some melanin in.
Hey.
Gresham, Oregon City Council has voted in some melanin. Gresham has voted in its first black city councilor in over 30 years in a unanimous vote last Tuesday. Vincent Jones Dixon, a Gresham resident and advocate, was elected to the seat after Mayor Carolyn Echols shifted into her new role. Jones Dixon was selected after a long public interview process that included 15 applicants representing diverse parts of the community. I think he brings a perspective having worked within the community and in a small business environment, said Councilor David Widmark. We needed to round out council in some areas that none of us bring to the table. The decision was not made lightly by council, who went through a process lasting more than 5 hours before selecting Jones Dixon. I don't think we've ever had this kind of quality applicants for appointment or election, said Councilor Jerry Hinton. Any one of them would do a great job and could add a lot to this council. Jones Dixon was sworn into his position during a small ceremony Wednesday, July 22nd.
Man, that's what's up. That's what's up.
Especially in Gresham.
Yeah. Man, you know what? I did not take that part into account, but yes. Especially in Gresham.
Yes. Holy smokes. Like Oswego, we coming for you next.
First black city councilor in over 30 years.
Yes.
Bruh.
30.
Man. All right. So a judge rejects motion for a restraining order against federal police. Friday afternoon, a request to issue a temporary restraining order against federal officers filed by Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum was denied by the U.S. District Judge Michael W. Mossman. Mossman said Rosenblum failed to provide sufficient evidence that these arrests were taking place widely throughout Portland or were part of federal policy. And because the state couldn't establish said policy or a pattern, there was no legal standing. This marked the end to a legal strategy that City Hall was hoping would be enough to grant the city a reprieve. Mossman said that while some of the arrests appeared unconstitutional, Rosenblum's legal team didn't present enough evidence outside of media reports of the two arrests. The state has alleged that purportedly illegal seizures by defendants have caused an injury to its citizens' rights to speech and assembly, Mossman wrote. In other words, the state must show that the illegal seizures will occur again in the future. The state could try to show, for example, that all of the defendants' seizures are illegal or that they are under orders to fail to identify themselves or to make random arrests without probable cause. The state has shown none of this, he continued. It has presented no evidence of any official orders or policies and has presented no evidence that these allegedly illegal seizures are a widespread practice. Despite the broad language in the complaint, Oregon has shown, at most, this type of seizure has happened twice. Rosenblum responded with a statement about the ruling. While I respect Judge Mossman, she wrote, I would ask this question. If the state of Oregon does not have standing to prevent this unconstitutional conduct by unidentified federal agents running roughshod over her citizens, who does? Individuals mistreated by the federal agents can sue for damages, but they can't get the judge to restrain this unlawful conduct more generally. The ruling suggests that there may be no recourse on behalf of our state. And if so, that's extremely troubling.
On just a surface level, right? If you go to Amazon.com and type in tactical gear, you could essentially have in 2 days all the gear that would make you look like a federal agent and could bounce out on whoever and snatch them. And if somebody was to call that in, who would challenge that based on
this? Right. It's like, it's scary how reactionary the law is, as opposed to being preventative in this situation. Because you're right, it really is that simple. And what the judge is basically saying is he doesn't feel like that's a reasonable fear, and it hasn't happened yet, so why are we talking about it? Like, what?
To announce who you are, you know, it throws this area in here that opens up the can of worms. Mm-hmm. Because again, someone runs up on me without identifying themselves as an officer or anything. I don't know who you are. So my response to that is, you are now doing something that is illegal, right? And I need to defend myself at all costs.
Exactly.
And the flip side is that is I would be railroaded in the federal court.
Absolutely. This is wild. So I don't even know what their next steps are going to be at this point. And from what I understand, more troops are on the way.
Oh, yes. Well, right. We've got an all-woman political consultant firm who says, who runs this mother, girls? I wish I had the drop. Shatter LLC wants to represent people who have not been included in politics. Just before we reach the 2020 election cycle, a new political consulting firm has entered the marathon. Shatter LLC is a new progressive political consulting firm run by 9 women connected to Hilltop Public Solutions, a consulting firm with offices all over the United States, including Portland, Oregon.
Hey.
Shatter was created to represent women and people of color who have not been represented in politics historically. To have an explicit firm dedicated to providing services for those constituents, said Serene Boston Ashby, the Portland resident of the group. Boston Ashby has been a part of Oregon politics for more than 10 years and has worked on legendary campaigns including Barack Obama, the Presidente, and Governor John Kitzhaber's run for office, along with working as director of the Portland African American Leadership Forum. Ashby said, when she began working in politics, Oregon communities did not organize often for political issues. You had white-led institutions that would do some outreach to women, do some outreach to communities of colors at times, speak with LGBTQ people, not even consider people from different able communities. But that has changed over the last 15 years, she said, and communities in Oregon are now leading these efforts themselves. The partners did not plan to launch while the country was upended by protests against systematic racism, the coronavirus pandemic, and a new recession. Mm. When we look at the historical landscape for Black, Indigenous people of color, LGBTQ people, disabled people, we know that their ability to have healthy and safe lives is impacted by the political system, Boston Ashby said. The time has always been there.
Man.
This is big.
Yeah, this is huge. I'm excited.
Yes. It's always about, you know, the seed and what that blossoms into. Mm-hmm. And stories like this, they take the idea of something and show the action that goes behind it.
Yeah.
And that essentially makes it conceivable for people who were thinking about it or wondered if there ever would be, and therefore empowers people to want to follow in these footsteps. And I'm for all the women's doing all the things.
Yes. Yes. Women to the rescue. Black women to the rescue leading the charge.
Please.
I love it.
Please.
Yes. He said, please. Please. Well, speaking of political action, ballots are in the mail. Have you gotten yours yet? I got mine's.
Nope.
You ain't get yours yet?
No.
Let me give you some info, Bretta. The U.S. Postal Service has begun delivering ballots for the August 11th special runoff election. City of Portland voters who did not receive a ballot by Thursday, July 30th, should call the county elections office at 503-988-VOTE. Multnomah County Elections encourages voters to stay home, stay safe, and vote by mail. And this just in, a stamp is no longer required to put your ballot in the mail. Portland voters have until Thursday, August 6th, to mail their ballots. Voters mailing ballots from outside the city of Portland should do so earlier. After the 6th, voters should use the special official ballot drop sites. There are 24-hour drop boxes at the libraries in Multnomah County. Fairview and Troutdale libraries will not be accepting ballots. Mm. To find your nearest official ballot drop site, head to multco.us/dropsites. You got to get your ballots in by 8 p.m. on Election Day. The Portland City Charter requires a special runoff election for a vacant position. The other City of Portland positions that are not vacant, including Mayor and Commissioner, Position 4, are scheduled for the November 3rd, 2020 general election. Both Multnomah County elections locations are following all safety recommendations provided by the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, including wearing face coverings and physical distancing guidelines. Many voter services can be completed online. For questions, please call 503-988-8683. It's all the information you need right there, brother.
Yes, and thank you for that, because now I know.
And no, it's my mailbox has
been full of ads. I know everything going on over at Harbor Freight.
That's dangerous. That's dangerous.
Well, up next, we have a segment from our recent interview with the woman that the media has wrongfully dubbed a white woman doing yoga, a.k.a. Naked Athena.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys like, I can tell you the sort of my recollection of what happened. Yeah,
please.
Yes.
Yeah.
And about how long it felt, you know. So I walked up to the cops and I stood in that stance that they were standing in, and a federal officer fired some rounds about halfway between him and I, that kind of, to
those warning shots.
Warning mm-hmm. shots, yeah. And I lifted my arm to point at him mm. and look at him. I was staring him down, like, I see you. Mm. That was you. You did that, you know. You're the one. I'm picking you out. Mm-hmm. You're the one who's the unstable element here.
Mm. Yeah, the thug.
Yeah. You're
the, I mean, you're shooting at me? Well, what I do to you?
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And then this white kid with a shield came running up and jumped in front of me, which I, on some level, appreciated. Like, oh, that's, sweet that, this young man is having the impulse to want to protect a vulnerable woman. But I didn't appreciate was that he was yelling at me, get out of the street, get out of the street. Mm. And I didn't say a word to him. I just moved my arm around him and then I started walking to get away from him. Federal officers kind of shot at him and I, more warning shots. And then, we walked down to on the left side, there were police officers. On the right side, there were federal officers blocking the street. And we got down to closer where the Portland police officers were. And I walked to try and get around this kid, which took me another 2 feet closer to the cops. And that's when a Portland officer took direct aim and shot me directly in the foot, which was one of the things that the media definitely misreported.
Mm. Is that the image where they said you were doing yoga?
Right after that. So they shot me in the foot, and I continued to walk around that kid. I think he left. Hmm. I don't know if he got left because we were getting shot at. Hmm. And then I was like walking down the line with my arms extended toward them, walking up and down the line of officers going, what? Look.
You shot me, and yeah. I'm still here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of just, look, I don't have anything. Mm. You know, my message that other than just my feminine response of wanting to show them what my version of vulnerability looks like mm-hmm. or my version of power looks mm-hmm. like was we're all out here. These protesters, the only thing we have in common is that we have masks on and that we're out here at night. Like, none of these people have weapons.
Right.
Like, you could take away, empty their pockets, take off their clothes. Nobody has weapons here, And I just wanted them to see what they were shooting at.
Yeah.
You know, look, what? Like, we're all humans under here. Humans, we're not just, yes. we're not just like, you know, jerks or like, or punks or right. rebels or, you know, like
or violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I just think that the cops like kind of think of a lot of the protesters as just being like, you know, like losers, you know,
yeah.
just mm-hmm. like get a job, you know, get in line.
You're all anarchists.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
Yeah. Like, you know, and
totally bunch get a
of,
job.
Bunch of liberals and, you know, whatever.
Better learn to code.
Yeah. Then, right.
And then live the life I live.
Is that
right?
A sub?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a sub. Okay.
No smoke.
and so, there was a, you know, I was walking up and down the line of them, looking at them. Then there was a black man with like long dreads who was sitting in the street, and I went and sat next to him, and he looked at me and he nodded, and we were looking at the officers, and then he noticed very quickly that there was a tear gas canister that had come near us. And so he jumped up to move it.
Kick it back.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't even, I think he was just trying to like kick it away, you know, is what it looked like. But they aggressively shot at him and, you know, deterred him. So he, you know, so he kind of ran off. Jeez. And I think he came back a moment later from what I've seen, but
interesting. We haven't seen those pictures.
Right. Yeah. And so then the cop cars rolled up. Mm. Oh wait, no. Then the yoga thing. Yeah. So, you know, I laid down in the street and I lifted my leg up in the air for them to see the blood, for them to see that they had shot me, you know? And then I think I stood up and stretched my arms upward and I lifted my foot, you know, and I lifted my foot so they could see it. So it was facing them. And I lifted my arms up in defiance. Like, look, and I can still stand tall, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm a dancer. So, you know, I was expressing myself, you yeah. know, and, if that was a tree pose, that was a sloppy tree pose, I'll tell you what.
Like all the yogis are like, that is not,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
that is not it.
Oh no, all the white yogis are like, we're loving this. She was doing yoga. You know? She used her yogic energy.
Sorry.
She used her yogic energy to channel the forces of good, you know, whatever. But the cop cars rolled up at one point. The cop cars rolled up, and I've, you know, like I said, I've been arrested before. And when cars show up, it's when transport is here. Mm-hmm. They're ready to take you away. So I got up for a second and I went to walk away, like, because I was scared.
Yeah.
Like, okay, maybe this is the moment where I casually, slowly walk away.
I'm gonna go find my shirt.
Yeah, right? but I changed my mind. Like, you know, five paces into it, I just turned around and said, no. And that's when I sat down on the pavement and I spread my legs and put my elbows on my knees and my hands up, facing my palms upward. And I just... It was like, shoot this. Look at this. You know, like, you really can't say that I have a weapon now.
Right.
Other than this yoni.
The yoni.
I didn't have, you know, anything leading up to this that taught me to do any of these things. Other than an entire lifetime of just experience, you know? Yeah. I did not know that there was mainstream press there, but there, I didn't know there was a photographer there. I didn't know there were that many people there. Like, and it's crazy because, you know, my friend, you know, he, after I walked off, he decided he was going to record it. And he, we left and he was like, this shit is crazy. It's going to go viral. And I was like, no.
Like, I'm in Portland in a protest.
Yeah.
I'm downtown. He was like, I'm fine.
He was like, I tell you what, it's going to go viral. And I'm like, I don't think so. Like, why would that, like, you know? And then woke up in the morning to a text from him, you went viral. And I was like,
told
you. Whoa. And then, like, my international family, like, you know, hit me up and was like, you've gone international. Like, you know, and, jeez. And like, I mean, well, it was like people being like, it's in the LA Times. Like, it's, in, you know, it's like, oh, man. Like, it, and now there's like video circulating of my face. Like I have my mask on and my hat on, but like people are just like, soon this world will know who Naked Athena is, dun, you dun, know? Dun. I do have something I want to say though. Mm-hmm. And I want to preface this by saying like, I didn't come here to make excuses. I didn't come here to justify what I did. I didn't come here because I feel that I need to explain myself or that the Black community should have to listen to me explain myself at all. You know, I came here because I think stories are worth exploring. And, you know, from what you guys expressed to me, that was kind of something that we came to alignment upon, you know, and I came here specifically because you guys are not mainstream media. Mm-hmm. You're not a bunch of, you know, white journalists trying to like contact my friends being like, we'll give you $1,000 to expose the identity of this person. You know,
peel the mask off, Ken.
Like,
gotcha.
really loud, nervous laugh.
She was like, wait, shit.
But, you know, I don't believe in, like, contributing to the monetization of, especially a media that, one, again, has misstated some of the facts about what happened. And two, is the media that celebrates my body because I'm a light-skinned, slender woman.
Yep.
You know? Like, they're getting clicks and views off of the headline, the sensationalist headline, Naked Athena, you know? But the whole reason that it's so sensationalized and so lifted up as this image of a goddess is because I'm a light-skinned, slender woman, you know? So yeah, I don't really want to play their game. I don't really want to interact with them. And I don't feel like I need to like make sure that they know about the things that they got wrong. Cause whatever, they got it wrong. That's on them, you know? Like,
are they going to print a retraction anyway? No.
No, right.
And if they do, will they tell anybody about it? No.
And yeah. And you know, I realized like the things that I want to talk about, like colorism and like being a non-Black POC versus a Black POC. And, you know, a lot of the deeper intricacies that this community has vocabulary for and this particular part of the world that we live in has been adapting the you know vocabulary for, or not adapting, but has been making themselves available to spend the time like taking in a lot of more of this vocabulary. You know, the young people of today. I sided with whiteness. I identified with whiteness most of my entire life, you know, to adapt, to be accepted, to be, you know, liked, which is not like that. It really worked anyways, you know, like, I was still always an outcast. But, you know, I would do racist impersonations of my own race to make people laugh. Cause that's what they wanted from me.
Yep.
You know, and it's been a long road of unpacking that in myself, and specific to the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, the Black women in my life who guide me, who educate me, who encourage me, who are patient with me. You know, my good friend confronted me recently and she said, "You're a white apologist and I'm sick of it."
Mm.
Every time I bring up something that, you know, is unfair, you try and soften it.
Mm.
And I just sat there and I took it. And that was a changing point in my life. Mm. I didn't make excuses. It's so uncomfortable when someone confronts you.
Yes.
Right.
You want to defend yourself, but you shouldn't. You should take a breath.
Yeah.
Impact is valid, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, separate from the intent.
And mm-hmm. and it changes the conversation. You know, you empower yourself. You empower that person when you just listen and you say you're valid, you're right. There's some way in which I can figure out how to admit some wrongdoing. You know, like there's something.
And it gives you the opportunity to learn and grow, right? Yeah. When you are closed off to being wrong.
Yeah.
How could you ever grow from it, you know?
Right.
And white supremacy shows up everywhere. We're all ingrained in it. There is no person here that hasn't been impacted, that hasn't upheld it at some point.
Yeah.
It's systemic.
It's completely systemic. Right. And it is the air we breathe right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get to the point where it's not the air that we breathe, right? But when you say not only we're living in this society where it's the air that we breathe, but also growing up with a father who gives you.
For those just tuning in, that was a segment from the Unrefined Sophisticates podcast hosted by Ken and Morgan Jones.
Make sure y'all check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. again as we sit down and run up the numbers.
Run up the numbers.
Arrest Jonathan Mattingly, the cop that killed Breonna Taylor.
Hosted by Ken Jones and DJ Ambush.
Arrest Brett Hankinson, the cop that killed Breonna Taylor.
This episode also featured Morgan Jones, Amber Boydston, and Jen.
Arrest Miles Cosgrove, the cop that killed Breonna Taylor.
Special thanks to our researchers and writers, Shireen Hassan, Sham Shawan, Hannah, Alicia, and Joseph Watson.
Arrest and convict them hoes that killed Breonna Taylor.
Hey, get them up out of here.
And music by C's.